Blog Talk Radio.
Woke up this morning looking for my shoes, looked behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Take me rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
We're way behind. How do you make a conference call? Well, you just kind of, on your landline phone, you just kind of click over. That's how you do it.
But what's a landline phone?
What? I know. Who has them anymore? So here we go, everybody. This is what we're doing with the show tonight. It is almost my fiance's birthday. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I want to give him a surprise birthday. And I really don't have the funds right now, so I decided to do a little special show to give him a special surprise birthday. And the reason why I want to do this is because he's so sweet. He's lost a lot of things in his life for the past couple of years. Both of his sons, he can't see his sons. He lost his dad. My health is not doing that well right now. His mom's health is declining. I mean, she's now on hospice. And he doesn't complain. He does not complain about his life. And instead, he sings, he dances, he says, hey, I say, what are you doing? He's like, I'm publishing a book. I'm getting the book ready. You know, and he always sings and dances. He makes puns. He wants to make everybody around him laugh. So I wanted to do a special show for him. It's close to his birthday. And I want people to call in to say hi. And I'm gonna surprise him. Are you guys ready? I'm gonna surprise
sure.
him, and I'm gonna tell him to call into the show because he doesn't know.
Cool.
Wish me
okay.
luck because one
we,
thing I'm
you
want to
wish him happy birthday.
Yeah, because his birthday's coming up, and he hates to talk on the phone. He does not really like surprises.
Oh.
So let me.
Boy, is he in for a
okay,
surprise.
I'm not here. What are you doing?
Oh, are you doing a show?
Yeah, I'm doing a show, and I told you that you need to call into
I
this show.
I said it's 8 o'clock, but.
Yeah, you're supposed to call in the show. I told you about this 2 weeks ago.
Well, I kind of thought so. I like went on, but I'm still working on that book.
No,
David Gretzky's book.
No, you're supposed to call into the show. I told you about this 2 weeks ago. You're supposed to call into the show. I told you
yeah,
about the show.
Who's on? Who's supposed to be on?
Well, I don't know who's going to be on. You're going to have to find out too.
Yeah,
tonight on Francie.
Yeah. Why are they? Are you live right? Are they?
Yeah, we're live right now, Nick.
Okay, let me.
Hold on. Let me get to the switchboard.
I gotta say this, or else the work I've done is gonna be.
You got 10 seconds to call into the show. 10 seconds. Save it. Better call in. Woo woo. Call in.
The runner's lifestyle, it never ends.
It yep. never ends. All right.
No room for the wicked.
Hold
Indeed.
On. Let's see if he's
no rest in. For the weary.
Oh, we got a couple of callers. Callers, I promise you we're going to get to everybody, okay? He did call in. Nicholas Grabowski.
Yeah, hello.
Hi,
hello,
Nick.
Hi.
Happy birthday, Ruby. Ruby
Coolies. Hey.
Happy birthday.
Everyone.
Happy birthday.
Well, yeah, not yet, but it's coming. It's I think it's next week, not this week, but the week after. But yeah,
Nick,
the
you're
you
the
get,
guest.
The more you dread it. What?
You're the guest.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
the guest.
Surprise, man.
So. That's why the birthday thing was mentioned, I suppose. Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Hey. Hi. Either hi there, Heather. I'm as welcome as can be. And I say
okay.
H-O-L-A-S and grab the sky.
Grab the sky. So, Nick, before we go any further, we do have people that are on hold right now. And before we get to, and I got somebody actually here that's off mute also. A really good friend of yours that you respect a lot, but first, right now,
Francie, are the people on hold listening to elevator music?
No, they're listening.
They
to
might.
The show.
They might be.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. You should have them listen to like, "Do you know the way to San Jose?" Da 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 da. Like in an elevator. That's why they. Yeah.
Okay, he's handling it a little bit better than I thought he would. Tom,
Yo.
You wanted to say a few words to Nick, right?
Yeah, well, Nick,
yeah.
Before your birthday comes and everything. I just wanted to wish you the best. It's been an honor being one of your in your stable of writers. I feel like I owe you part of my career, you know, writing career. You know, I mean, you've been supportive and helpful, and more than an editor and a publisher, a friend. So, you know, I just can't say enough. Can't give you enough accolades. It's an honor and privilege, buddy. So, you know.
Thanks, Tom. I think you and probably Jason Gaylert are the two that I've published the most books of. Actually,
I'm flattered and honored by that, too.
My
so.
Head, yeah. It's like an average of one a year since, I don't know, of a 2011-ish
something
or something.
Like yeah.
Yeah, wow.
2012, I think.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and then just pumping one after the other and stuff. And you know, I always encourage you writers to, like, just not stick to me. I mean, get your stuff all around everywhere that you can, too. But it's always a great pleasure to keep it up on my end, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you.
And it's great. And it's an even better pleasure publishing the likes of you guys, too. I mean,
not only
do you guys have faith in me, but I have faith in you. I mean, you know, look at if nobody has read Tom Sawyer, check him out. Check out Tom Sawyer. He's got like a nice, like, little bookshelf worth of books that you got to check out, from like Shadows in the Dark and up until the recent Twilight Zone anthology. It's like really, really great stuff. Michigan author.
Thank you.
Writes uniquely Michigan type stuff, and it's really good. You write what you know, too, which is what I always say, and you write stories that are generally within your region, and it's a part of your legacy. Cool stuff.
Thank you. You know, I can remember the first time I kind of met you online, and I was like, you told me to send us a couple pages of your short story, your novel, Shadows in the Dark. And you go, no, send me a couple chapters. Then finally you said, no, just send me the whole book. I like your passion. So that's the first time I met you. That's what I remember from that's the thing I remember most, because it was Shadows in the Dark, and that's just the one that just kind of was like, okay, wow, cool. I know I'm going to like this guy. You know, it's just like, wow, you know.
Yeah, it's
That's
not just
awesome.
Passion and talent, too. It could be just 100% passion and no talent, and there's something to work with there for a little while, and you've got the talent, too. So you've been easy to work with all this time.
Oh, I try. I mean, but it was like, when you said that, I was like, okay, yeah, because you said, yeah, I like your passion, and I was like, okay, hopefully it makes the grade, you know, I was like, okay, cool. I mean, you know, I'm good with that. That's, you know, so I just, you know, I figure, you know, you got to keep doing what I keep doing, and, you know, hopefully each one makes the grade with you, you know, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, and makes the grade with broader and broader audience as time, you know, goes by. And stuff, because sooner or later something's got to really hit besides, you know, getting published and making a few bucks off of it, getting your name out more and more each year and stuff. But, you know, as we just keep going and stuff, we're both on each other's sides, as is all my authors. Somebody's got to hit it bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, you know, somebody's stuff is going to get made into a movie eventually. You know, I mean, as long as we keep putting things out, and I believe in you guys, and I believe in my own stuff, too, there's grander horizons to come. We just got to keep plugging away. Yep.
We're all following our own dreams in a way together. You know?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. We are.
Yeah. Shared dreams and experiences.
And Nick, I'll tell you this much. I'm going to go ahead and kind of turn the tables around a little bit, because, you know, and I'm going to do it just the old fashioned way, and
Let me handle the announcements real quick on your behalf, since it's your upcoming birthday, okay?
Okay.
So, you know, for all the listeners, here's what we can expect in the coming months. We're going to get some more titles, so stay tuned. Bite your nails down, and if they're already raw, bite somebody else's nails, because the suspense is killing us just as well. But we know for sure, probably by December, we're going to probably more than likely see Volume 27 of Tom Sawyer's and Rod Retrust. Maybe even as early as Volume 28, pending possibly after New Year's, depending upon whether or not the in-laws are coming down for the holidays. But we're not going to hold them towards that part.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, now for Francie and friends, we could possibly see a nice little surprise appearance from David Madison and Edward X. Young, perhaps maybe pitching Mr. Hush Part 3. But again, this is all tentative.
Yeah, that's all
who knows?
A big mouthful.
Yeah. You know, but it's also a combination of birthday wishes, too. So, and for time for the biggest announcement of them all, Nick, very happy birthday. You know, it's been an honor and a privilege to have known you for all these years, and you know, just to see how Black Bedsheet has grown with that time, and also, you know, just your whole attitude towards coming into the business, just how you approach everybody, and you know, it's such a small world, the whole 6 degrees of separation, where 9 times out of 10, you know, I'd be talking to other writers and other actors and such, and I'd hear your name coming up in the course of the conversation. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know Nick really well. Really great guy. I mean, you know, it's so funny how often that happens. It really is. And, you know, you are definitely one of the most coolest friends anybody can ever ask for. And so very happy birthday,
buddy.
You're
the nicest guy. Does
Amen
anybody
to what
have
Williams
anything
said.
Bad to say about Nick? No.
Nope. Never.
Okay, nope. I'm gonna let everybody know. Switchboard is lit up. We're going to try to get all these callers. This is a 2-hour show. I'm asking everybody, please don't hang up. We're going to get to all of you. We already have Ron Fitzgerald on the show. Ron!
Francie, Nick.
Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Ron Fitzgerald. Wow, long time no hear.
Yeah, hello, hello.
I
had
some of your stuff. But lately, wow, you know, you're one of the highlights of all the people I've ever met.
Well, likewise. You've always been very awesome to me. You helped me pimp out Dark Realm and everything else. And I really greatly appreciate it. And everybody should know you and come and enjoy your work and all of your other authors and everything there with you. And you're just, you know, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, ever worked with. I you and Francie, I love you guys. You've always been nothing but welcoming and having me on the show and including me in everything. And I just want you to know I appreciate that. And I know you've been having a rough go lately, so I'm hoping everything is going far more your way now. And wanted to wish you an early happy birthday, my friend.
Ron, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. You know what? Funny thing. The other week, I was watching this this movie that I got on DVD off of eBay that I never heard of before, and it turns out that your voice was the voice of the main monster, like towards the end. Forgot what it was. It was at this low budget in an apartment building kind of a thing with this creature that was killing everybody, and it said Ron Fitzgerald at the end credits.
Bioslime.
Bioslime,
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Francie, check this out.
Yes.
Ron.
I was going to say, when he got it, he was going to say, hey, Francie, check this out. As I was walking through. He was so proud to get that. He's like, oh, my gosh, I got a Ron Fitzgerald movie. Yay.
Yep.
Yeah,
they are out there.
They are.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Let me say something to Ron Fitzgerald, since he's here.
Yeah, Francis.
He's put up a lot. With me on this show. He's like, oh, Prince, really? But we had some good times.
Oh, yes. It was always a blast being your co-host for a little while here on the show. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was always a good time. It's still a good time.
Yeah, and, you know, you're always welcome. You are always a straight guy. You're like, no, wait a minute, Francie, no.
Well, it's very scary when the most insane guy in the room is sometimes the voice of reason, so you're welcome, yeah.
Yeah.
Also the voice of BioSpine.
Definitely that.
But hey, in BioSlime, it's my voice coming out of the very gorgeous actress Victoria DeMar in that movie. So that's what's really weird about that, because the creature is kind of taking her over, and it's my voice then coming out of her, which is really bizarre. I love it.
That would be kind of scary. Ron, we would like to invite you to stay on, because there's another good friend I know is going to be calling into the show. Like I said, everybody, the switchboard is totally lit up. I'm Nick, I'm going through.
You got a bunch of people.
I got a soul. Everybody,
well, Nick,
please,
you know, a lot of people know and love you and want to kind of wish you a happy birthday and show you some love tonight. So I'm glad that the switchboard is lit up. Yeah, that is, it's perfect, and it should be. You know,
wow.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
Fitting tribute to a man.
Damn,
and
not only was
the switchboard lit up, but my Facebook Messenger was lit up too. And I have a couple of messages on Facebook Messenger for comments that they couldn't be here tonight, but they wanted to send Nick a comment. And, Nick, do you know who Jeff Carroll is?
Yeah. He's another of mine. He's great. He's a wonderful talent, too. You got to check out his comic books and things. But I published him. It Happened on Negro Mountain. Still available.
He left you a comment.
Oh, okay. Are you going to read it?
No, I'm going to play.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Carroll, the author of It Happened on Negro Mountain. I'm calling to leave this message for Nick and let him know that I always appreciate him being the first publisher to give me a published book deal for my book. Of course, It Happened on Negro Mountain. And also let him know that, you know, I'm an optimistic person. I live down here in sunny South Florida, where the sun shines pretty much all year long, and it fuels my optimism. Why am I optimistic? Because it's logical. It makes no sense to not enjoy this experience and live this experience that we have to the fullest. I personally don't believe this is our only experience. I believe we have experiences before this life, and we'll have experiences after this life. And I don't necessarily believe in death. I am an only child, and my parents are both made their transitions. My mother made hers about 14 years ago, and my father made his about 26 years ago. I live my day with them. You know, I talk to them all the time. They are part of me, and I share that my world and life with them. And it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I just wanted to share that with you. I know we go through times where we're suffering, where we have pain, we have aches. Sometimes the people around us have pains and aches, but we have to make the most of it. I am a daytime school teacher, and this year, during the virtual year, I've been working with special needs children. And I started off working with them down here in South Florida. And it always reminds me of the things that we can take pleasure in, not the things to be valuable, you know, thankful for. You know, people always say, oh, be thankful you have two legs, you have, you know, you have full use of your brain capacity when you're working with special needs children. But it's not that. What I say, because many of them are still thankful, you know, and they're finding that as they grow to adulthood. And it's really just the ability to enjoy all of the things that you have in the world that we're in. And that's a beautiful thing, to be accessing this earth at this time and enjoy it, you know. I don't know if that even sounds motivating. I'm trying to sound truthful and honest to you. But it's a daily, you know, not struggle, it's a daily opportunity to find optimism. And when you do find that in your day, whether you wake up with optimism or you search for it and find it, is a beautiful thing to accomplish. And that really is gives you a good time to go to sleep on, you know, and meditate about it. Was this day worth living? What did I do to enjoy this day? And I do that kind of every day, and I make sure I appreciate it. Sometimes I put a things to do list out, but that doesn't always do it, because sometimes I don't get to half of those things on the things to do list. So I'm still thankful, and I still made something happen. As far as I'm going, my it happened on Negro Mountain. It was supposed to be a movie that we were working on before the quarantine. We were really looking at it, and I've since learned how to shoot and become a better cameraman and learned a little bit of editing. So the better a filmmaker I get, beyond just being a writer, the closer chances we get to making It Happened on Negro Mountain a cinematic reality. So, again, I will continue to stay in touch with you. Keep posting on Horror Nation. Post those jokes, because they are really funny, and it gives me chances to look for more jokes and share them on the page and make everybody laugh about horror stuff. So thank you, Fancy, for asking me to say something. I'm sorry that I'm not on the phone with you guys live. Hopefully you can really you can use this message and find something in it. I'm out here getting bit up by mosquitoes, so I'm going to go inside now. Thank you, and I had two events today, so it was just a long day for me. So I don't think I'll be able to stay up till midnight to get you all in Pacific time. But anyway, enjoy the quarantine. You are not alone. The struggle is real, keeping our mental health in order. So you fight the good battle for us, because you have to take care of you. And that's you, Nick. All right, Nicholas. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You know, that's really cool. He's got a lot more going than just books. He's actually directed some interesting movies, and he keeps moving up in the world. Not to mention what I said before when you mentioned his name about comic books and things. So he's got his fingers all over the place. And he's one of the examples of somebody that, you know, that I published, and he's doing all kinds of other stuff besides that, and I get to be a piece of the pie of his creative life.
And that's a small world. He's actually somewhere in my neck of the woods.
Yeah. South Florida.
Oh, William, why aren't you guys talking?
Well, we were listening to the birthday boys talk.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm saying, why are... Okay. Okay, so I'm getting things in the chat room, and I'm getting... Okay. Nick?
Yes?
Ron, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
All right. Making sure Ron's hanging in with us. I do have an 830 area code, and I know who this is from. Okay, wait. Okay. Okay, nope. 830, hold on 1 second. Nick, I got someone very special to your heart to call in. tonight, and you don't get to talk to this person often, and when you do get to talk to this person, it really means a lot to you. And this
I feel like this is
person.
Your life, that old TV series.
Yeah.
This is,
well,
no, this
in
is,
a way, yeah.
This is one person, 830, I'm about to get to you, and I don't want to tell Nick who that is, but this person, he's like family. Okay, he is your family. It is your, oh wait, hold on, my, okay. It is your cousin. Cousin.
Yes.
Nick?
Yeah, oh, David.
How you doing, Nick?
Oh, hey, David. Oh, yeah, David Overbury.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Kind of like that. It's really cool and unexpected, and really I'm overwhelmed. Hey, well, say hey. Well, hi. The last time we talked, we had a really good conversation and stuff about like politics and you know, the world and things and my mom and stuff and wow, hi.
Yeah, things are going well with
surprise.
Are things going better for you, Nick?
Yes. Yeah, in a lot of ways. My mom's doing good. I mean, you know, it's kind of like 1 week she's doing really well. And then the next week it's like it goes downhill. And then I don't know what to do. And we have nurses that come over and stuff and take care of things. And one time we called 911, and it wasn't as serious as we thought. And it just, it's kind of like a roller coaster. Tonight, for example, it's a nice night. And she had a good, like, early, like, brunch. And now she's, like, taking a nap. And so that's just everything here that I live in, among other things, with the books and stuff. It revolves around taking care of my mom. So and you gave me some good advice, and we'll talk about stuff like that. I'll call you this week about the personal stuff. I'm just
good.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Things are going very well. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing right now besides talking to me? Where are you at?
I'm at home having a glass of wine, just relaxing, you know. Francie let me know that you were having a call in tonight, and it was really cool, and I just wanted to call in and just let you know I'm thinking about you.
I'm really grateful.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, you're the Overburys are the only family that I have left. Besides a few trickles here, everybody else that I grew up with, as far as family, they're all gone except for us. As far as growing up with
me,
I mean, we're the last ones.
Yeah, my brother's still around, you know, his family. Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah, every once in a while, Danny calls. And you know what? He ends up talking about, you know, his life, I think, in Arizona, is it?
Yeah, he's in Kingman, yeah.
Yeah, and he talks about me publishing some of his stuff, but he never sends it to me. He just talks about it, and I'm good. Well, yeah, okay. But, you know, I mean, and it's just really weird. Me growing up in church, as you know, and other stuff, and whatever you've known throughout our lives about me, you know about the whole publishing thing and everything, and that's what I've been all about now. I think it was a great decision, and this is like years later after I made it, because I've kind of painted myself into a corner where as something that I can do for a living, that's the right way to go. It really helps, too, in more ways than you know.
I think it's really great.
Nick. About it more, but yeah, I, there's probably other people waiting. But I'm, man, David, yeah, we got to talk more too. We got to talk more.
Well, call me this week and get after all the other calls. I just want to call you and tell you I'm thinking about you and I'm happy that you're doing better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
David,
When I talk to you this week, I'm going to try to get my mom on the phone and talk to you too.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Oh. Have a great great time on the air tonight, and it was good talking to you.
Oh, thank
Dave,
you. Thank you so much.
I definitely
love you. Love all you guys over there. Let them know, okay?
I certainly will.
Okay.
I definitely want to say thank you for calling in, and I could definitely tell that was a surprise for Nick, and I kind of teared up when he said, "What? Wow!"
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for reminding me tonight too, because I have a short memory, and you let me know. Hey,
you're letting me know you're calling in, and I said, "Up, okay." Nick, we got more surprises.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, David. Thank you for calling.
All right, take care.
All right.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
There's more.
You got more coming.
And now
we're gonna bring a Sue freaking Din in here soon. But we do have it's not going to be a Nicholas Grabowski show without what so freaking did.
Oh, hell no.
It's got a party until you get Sue in here with us. Come on.
No way. Yeah.
I mean, there's
we're ready.
I got to tell you, though, we got to take away those salted peanuts.
the elephant lady needs to be fed. She's so hungry.
Come on, are you going to deprive her of those?
Oh, come on. You know, it raises your blood pressure. It does cause water gain.
Water gain.
I do have two OGs on the phone. And these two OGs introduced us. Nick?
OGs introduced us.
The originals, the OGs.
Okay, I'm going back and...
doesn't know slang. We are the originals. You gotta...
Okay, I thought it was like... OG meant oh my gods or something. I don't know.
Isn't
that from a movie?
Spider
slip up. That's all. I'm gonna get you, sucker.
Three letters. OG's original. Oh my gosh. Ron, tell him he's got to learn how to talk street.
You got to know how these kids are talking these days. Post pandemic, you know.
Who the hell was that?
It's Sue Dill.
Who did that?
I remember the great pandemic of 2020. Hell, I remember the war on terror. I remember before there was an internet at all.
Put that 15-second audio on YouTube and make some money off of it. That's great.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who's doing that?
What's that?
Who's doing what?
Nothing.
Doesn't that sound just like the voice that was coming out at you in BioSlime, Nick?
BioSlime.
Oh, boy.
We're crazy.
We are. We're
the rest of the world's crazy. We're the sane ones.
Okay. All right, we're the same one. The rest of the world's crazy. That's all right with me.
And we don't even know how to operate a cell phone. How do I get a conference call going in? I can't even operate Zoom.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, I tried, and I got an account, I guess. And
I'm trying to get a Zoom thing going, but after I publish a couple of books first, I'm getting Black Hamster going live on YouTube probably next month. Black Hamster TV.
I've been live streaming since late last year when I did my Halloween season, everything starting. And I did been live streaming ever since then to keep in touch with everybody. And those are all archived on my YouTube channel, too, so you take a look at those. But, start live streaming those Black Hamsters and everything. You'll love that.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Yeah. It's a really good thing, and it's great because you can do a lot of interaction with the audience live. You get them in the chat and everything in there. And, if you had any questions, let me know. I'll try and fill you in, you know, if you need any help with that.
Yeah,
I'm using a different platform. I can definitely, you know, give you some, you know, a little advice on, and I wish I knew more about it before I started.
I'm just glad that you're doing the live stream too, because I'll admit, Ron, I really do miss your shows. So I can't wait to catch up on them.
Yeah, they're out there.
No problem.
That's one of the things I've been doing during the pandemic is building up the YouTube channel, and I started live streaming, and I just, everything had to pivot online. So it's all on there, and the live streams are archived on there, and I've been adding a lot of other content as well. So go check out the YouTube channel. And for those in the audience who are looking and wonder how to find it, just Google my name, Ron Fitzgerald, and I'm, you know, you'll find me.
Yep.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So you guys should check that out, though. You'll like the live shows. And I just put up another show, just added another one. It's the Toxic Gothic Horror Romance Movie Countdown. And that just went
up.
I have been
watching your live shows, and I like what you're doing.
Yes, you've shown up in the chat on there a couple of times, so you have seen the live shows. That's right. You've been in there. Mm-hmm.
I do. You got nice backgrounds, and you're working it, buddy.
Oh yeah, I put up a whole set and got lighting, and we've got all kinds of new equipment and everything here in the Batcave in the realm. And I just went all in on the live streaming stuff. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be performing from home for a while, we're gonna do the whole damn thing. So I jumped in.
Might as well just jump all the way in.
when do you want to be a guest on Frenzy and Friends again? Because I'm rebooting this one too. Because I'm not 100%, but I'm getting there. And I, we want to get this show rebooted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why she brought the two minions on as well too. Tom and I.
Oh, what do you say, Ron? You want to be a guest this Sunday night?
Let's talk in schedule. I don't know if I can do it next Sunday. I don't know what I can do, but. But I can, I'll come back. I will come on as a guest. Sure. I've got plenty of other new stuff to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this. And let's talk about guest baby. Let's talk about you.
Hey, yeah, Francie. Oh. Francie, do you have anybody else waiting?
Yes.
Yeah, she's got a whole bunch of people. Now, let's get somebody.
Because I got a song that I want to sing for you guys, but I might skip it for the next couple of calls, but I got this, it's a long story, but I told Francine the next time she does a show, I've got a song for you guys.
Perfect. All right. You want to hear it. Are we going to sing Happy Birthday to you too?
Let's bring on the OG. The OG.
Okay, bring on the next one. And I'm holding everybody in suspense.
I believe I got
now starting, number four.
And Wolf Boy Molest Me.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Is this MailEnhancement.com?
Huh?
Is this MailEnhancement.com?
Yes, it is.
It is.
So tell us about your male enhancement. How's it going?
Wait a minute.
With that.
Is this Francie? Francie,
yes,
when did you start
working
here?
Well, since I figured out that I do have male enhancement, but I don't.
You'll have to forgive me. I'm out of practice for this kind of thing.
I am too. That's why I'm not. A is Nick is JLN Wolfboy. JLN Wolfboy.
Hello. And Wolfboy molest me, which I coined that term, by the way. Wolfboy molest me. Hey guys, how you doing?
Well, surprise.
Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. That goes back about 10 years. 9, 10-ish.
Yeah.
Honey,
I mean,
right?
Been long.
Well, no,
right.
I mean, but we've kept in touch off and on throughout stuff. You know, JL, I was looking up Norm Applegate, who I published his first couple of books and stuff, but
right.
did a screenplay that JL was going to direct, movie, long story short. But anyway, I was just kind of looking him up just the other day, and he's not doing any more writing at all. He's just into, like, marketing and some, like, high-tech type stuff. I was just,
really?
Like, kind of curious. I was just, you know, thinking about that. Oh, and I meant to respond to you on Messenger, too, and I hadn't yet. But, yeah, hi.
Yeah, I just want to wish you a happy birthday and many more to come, you know. So, you know,
really?
I know, you know, things have been, like, you know, crazy with you lately, but, you know. Have a good birthday and party hard.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You say it's your birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
One thing I gotta say, when JL, he kind of, we're not going to mention any names, but he was hosting this one show. And that person kind of screwed him over, and he's like, hey, I was always tuning in. And I said, hey, I'm kind of shy, yeah, but let me give this a try. And JL was like, what? Yes, yes. And you boosted me up. You kept boosting me up. You said, you can
do
this.
Wait a minute, you're shy,
and I said, come on, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. I live in Columbia, South Carolina, and I figured out that throughout time of telling people that I grew up in South Carolina, do they even have paved roads in South Carolina? I was like, what?
Maybe.
Well,
if
you know,
JL was the original sponsor of Francie and Friends when she first started, like, in...
Yep.
2009 or 10, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, honey, that was 2005 or 6.
Really seems
well,
like,
we didn't know each other.
Like
we met
in
2009.
In fact, I messaged JL. I was like, JL, I don't have a guest for this Sunday. I'm racking my brain. We just had Jeff Conaway. Yeah, and JL was like Nicholas Grabowski.
Yeah, that's
called Nicholas Grabowski. Here's
you actually
number.
Introduced us. If it wasn't for you, then there would be like a space-time continuum kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, and then the Enterprise would keep blowing up and going through a time loop probably. So.
Yeah, exactly. And hundreds of planet Vulcans will be destroyed.
And oddly enough,
now JL,
we still have those problems in
matchmaker.
He was the matchmaker, and who knew it, because Nick was still engaged to Charlie's mom.
Uh-oh.
So,
yeah, I went through a horrible split and everything, and that was like, I knew Francie when I was still together before the horrible split. And then we just kind of hooked up over the phone and via her show that summer. And then things escalated to where the next October I ended up flying down to South Carolina with the idea that she was going to take her car and we were going to have a cross-country adventure.
Oh, that would have been so badass. We could have been like...
And things didn't happen so much with her car, and we had to take a flight back here. But anyway, she's been here ever since because of all this JL stuff.
You remember, hey, Nick, you remember the first time when you told her over the phone that you had feelings for her, but there was a big truck driving by, and then she couldn't hear what you said?
Yeah. Oh, you know, people, if you don't know, I'll say this really short, but this is funny. It's odd to me that JL actually had a relationship with a girl that I knew a long time ago that I had a crush on.
Yeah.
Couple of
yeah,
years,
isn't that weird?
That I worked in a bookstore with, and she later, all these years later, they ended up hooking up. So,
yeah, she lived with me for a while.
Yeah, a lot of people don't a lot of people don't realize that JL has had relationships with a lot of our old girlfriends.
Well, you know, all you got to do is rely on Wolf Boy to molest you on Mylan.
Wolf Boy to molest you. For those that don't know, Wolf Boy Gillespie was a part of Francine Friends and all the JL Patel stuff back in the day, too. So he's like really, it's really cool that both of you guys like called in.
Awesome. Well,
I totally agree with that, because the main thing is you know, a lot of it is we're talking about how Nick has reflected people's lives, and at this point, JL and Wolf Boy, you guys also reflected my life, and you guys brought me close to Nick. And to say that to not do a show with you guys would be absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's really cool because we do go back, and one of my life regrets that I have control of was I really wish that Into the Basement became a reality. I'm sure that you agree, JL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wish it did. Something happened with it, but you just never got the funding for it, and that was the problem. So.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't worth, you know, making it a no-budget film, you know. And it just died on the, died on the birthing table.
I will tell you guys that Norm Applegate wanted to set me up with his son.
Did he really? I never knew that.
Yeah, that's because I never told you. Yeah, Norm Applegate's like, come on, write to my son. You guys will be such a cute couple.
Francie, do you have anybody else before I sing that song?
I think we got Sue Kitt hanging on. We do have another caller.
I think we have 10 more minutes before the show like locks up into the after party.
It's a 2-hour show.
It's a 2-hour show.
Yeah,
wow.
We got plenty of time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we went all out this time, Nick. It's a huge party.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, this actually gives
me a break, too. I've been spending the last week working on David Gresky's book, trying to get that out by this week. And then Ragman, that's based off of an old book that I wrote and got published through my original Critics Choice Paperbacks publisher that did Halloween 4 and Pray, Serpents, Pray and some of the others. Like when I was under the pen name of Marcina Shane, some of those romance novels from the late 80s, 90, 91-ish. And I sent Terry Horns, who did Chop House 1 and 2 and Station House Number 1, but a bunch of books that I published because I thought that he was gritty enough to take my original manuscript for The Ragman and kind of bring it up to date and do whatever he wanted with it. And it turned out beautiful. So that's coming out. I'm going to be working on that next after David Gresky's Whistle Stop, which is coming out this week. So all that stuff, that's going to be great. And this Ragman with Horns is going to kind of initiate a couple of things that are uniquely me. Like aside from the books that I have yet to publish, that's going to be like coming out like this summer. I've got like 10 books coming out this summer, but stuff that's uniquely me, I have a new collection that's going to be coming out, some comic books, which is going to initiate Black Bedsheet books, comic book the side thing that I'm doing, which that's going to be an education for me. I've also I've set that up so you could probably expect the Black Bedsheet comics to come out with their first edition this summer, actually. Aside from, like, Black Hamster TV, of course. Steph, Francie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Me? Are you still there?
Yeah,
I could go
I'm
on,
here.
Go on for 2 hours. Got a lot of stuff, though, going on. But right now I'm going back and forth between editing David's book and doing yard work.
We got two more
very
callers.
Very cool, very cool.
We got two more callers. This one's been hanging on for a long time. 732, I believe. This is Edward X. Young.
This is indeed Edward X. Young in New Jersey, and it's getting kind of late out here, but even though I work an early morning day job when I'm not making films or well, I'm a filmmaker, an actor, and a All-American super patriot, but I also have a day job. But I how could I miss Nick's birthday? But Nick, when is your birthday precisely?
May 7th, 1966.
There we go. 1966.
Precisely.
I can remember that year.
Just after midnight.
Because you don't have your birthday listed on your Facebook page.
Oh, I don't.
I don't.
I must. Because every year I've been on Facebook forever now, it seems, and I always get, like, birthday stuff.
I'm sure I
send
you a greeting. Anyhow, it's good to be back in touch with you. Like I said, I work an early morning job on Mondays now. Already it's midnight here. I'll stay on as long as I can. But I hope the Francie show comes back and you'll all be available on Sunday nights again on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that really soon. I guess this is the launching pad, probably.
Right, yep.
We got to get some of my other authors and special guests and incredible people on Francine Friends every Sunday like it used to be back in the day.
Edward, you're really great
for people that don't know, he was the star of Mr. Hush. And a lot of you have a wide range of all kinds of movies. I have on my shelf.
And did you see me? Did anybody happen to watch The Daily Show with Trevor Noah on Comedy
Central? Yes, Francie and I watched it.
Yep.
I was on Monday, last Monday, wearing vampire fangs from the Mr. Hutch movie. Making use of my Mr. Hutch vampire teeth.
I'm gonna say it to you live right now. Shave the beard.
You think so?
Francie keeps saying that too, to shave the beard. But don't shave it too much, because there's a part of that is kind of you from like Time Magazine and stuff.
Oh yeah,
they took pictures of you.
Shave the beard.
You see, it's my COVID beard, because the last time I got my hair cut or my beard trimmed in any manner, shape, or form was at my hairstylist. I remember the date because I had the receipt still. It was March 2nd of 2020. Then about 2 weeks later, they closed everything down. And then a few months passed, and I was looking for an opportunity to get my hair cut. I had stopped cutting my hair, trimming my beard, and I went back there, and there was a sign on the door that, you know, the woman who was already 60 years old, my hairstylist of 13 years, had decided to retire and return to her home country. I think it was like Uruguay. So I was very angry, and I made a statement on TV that I was not going to groom myself until this COVID madness was history.
Well,
I thought
so too, and you know, no beauty.
You were
going to
grow a beard, Fancy?
No,
yeah,
I was going to say there's no beauty salons open here, but what do? I take your shears and I cut my hair.
You see, I'm not like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
I'm not going to find a way to get my hair cut. I'll suffer like the rest.
I cut it, and I gave myself a bald spot.
Yourself.
And
well,
I got a bald spot.
Head?
And I got to tell you, it was a bad
hair.
Haircut.
I don't normally notice, because I always see her the same way, and it kind of, she always like wants me to notice, and it's like she always kind of looks the same to me, whether she cuts her hair or not, unless like she grows it down to her legs or something. I mean, you know, it's always
like
semi-short, you know, and wavy, and the same. It's like, and she dyes her hair a lot too. It's like, am I better now? It's like, it doesn't matter to me. You look the same anyway. You look great.
That's why I love them. Okay, hold on. We got another caller.
It's been a long time. I remember the first time I talked to Francie on the radio.
All right,
yeah.
Stay on.
Yes,
hold on.
408, Sue Dent, are you on? 408?
Did you say Sue Dent?
I believe
Sue
that's
freaking
Sue Dent. I think that's her.
Hello?
Is that
Sue?
Hello?
Oh. Who is it?
Yeah.
Bad connection.
Hello?
Call is very important to us.
Is that Sue Dent?
4-4-0.
Wow, we're going through with a time warp.
You can never call back in.
I hear something.
Yeah. Hey, everyone.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hello.
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 Hey,
it's
me. Wait, is this Joe Mo? Oh,
hello,
no,
it is I, Joe Flynn.
It's
yes,
Joe Flynn.
Me,
I knew I recognized that area code. It's Joe Flynn.
Did I hear Joe Flynn?
There you go.
Yes, it'd be me, the dead guy. That's right.
You're,
I'm everywhere.
Captain,
yes,
Bingham,
I died
Bingham.
And called to... I just called to, you know, call to haunt you. I don't know. No, I just was calling to wish you a happy birthday. I've been kind of semi-busy doing the same thing as Ron, kind of, if you can believe that. Basically, I'm doing a podcast and a theater off of YouTube. They're called the Grim and Bloody Podcast.
Oh, I gotta look that up and check it out.
And
we also
have
a good theater.
Yes. It's called the Grim and Bloody Podcast, and it's also the Grim and Bloody Theater, where just like about 2 weeks ago, we did a little minor film fest with like four short horror films, and we did some interviews with the director and stuff like that. It was pretty fun. So, you know, and we're always looking for guests, so Nick and anyone else, please let my producer buddy, Anthony Derone, know that you'd like to come on and, you know, promote, you know, your books or your films or whatnot, and, you know, we'll put you on.
Right. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Some authors your way, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like as a former co-host, I had to call in, you know, since it is your birthday coming up. You know, it'd be rude of me not to.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. For those that don't know, Joe Flynn has been a horror host for a long time. He's the host of the Joe Flynn Show, and I've been on it a few times.
Cool.
He's also been a co-host of Francie and Friends back in the day as well. He's been around the block and then some, just promoting horror movies in general, interviewing people at conventions, and he's really made a name for himself over the years. He's an icon to me. He's great. He's very unique personality.
And this is the funny thing, too, Nick. My show is coming up on its 20th anniversary as of July 4th. It is kind of mind-boggling because, you know, when we and you talk about, you know, I remember when I met Nick. You know, and got his book.
Way back in the day, back in the convention day when I used to travel.
Well, that's right. And it was just like, hold on, how long ago was that? And then when I look at the book and I look at the year, I go, holy crap, really? Has it been that long? Never mind, I'm skipping that. I'm just going to say it was just like yesterday. Yeah, that's it. It was just like yesterday, man. I've only known Nick for a day, man. I swear.
But hey, I mean, you know,
I
did watch videos of you interviewing Nick, and it was adorable. And I could, and JL, you can relate to this when I said, oh my gosh, I don't have a guest, and Nick said, called Joe, and I said, Joe,
I got links to some of those shows. They're still on YouTube. I got them at downwarden.com, which is my website, which has like hundreds of pages to it.
Yes.
But they're all easy to access, though. Very easy size, lots of content.
No, it's funny, too, because I was looking at the Blog Talk Radio page, you know, before the show started. And, of course, there's that lovely photo of me and you when I was interviewing you in Sacramento.
I made sure to put that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of was going like, oh, my God. I totally remember that. It's just going like, yeah, Nick, let's just talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
you interview a lot of Raina Young and Fred Wehe too, which are two of my authors from Northern California, which we're all in the same kind of, you know, what you are too, and so you have those on those great people on your show as well. So that's all connect that way.
Yeah, it does. It comes around full circle because it's like, if I hadn't met Nick, I wouldn't have met Fred. I met Marina, and it was sort of like, hey, let's enter, you know, small, that inner circle of friends going like, here, check that person out. Check this person out, you know. And that's what it's all about. It's like spreading the love for everybody and just like going like, here, let me see how I can help promote this person or that person, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then we all promote each other, and pretty soon, you know, more and more people hear of all of us through the other.
Yeah.
Right. And this is the whole fun thing. It's like, hey, Tom, haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good, man.
Yeah, I see Tom's post, and it's like, hey, I like, you know, it's just like I kind of like circle around and check out, make sure everyone's doing okay since this crazy thing called a pandemic that rocked everybody's world, as we call it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, at least I know everyone's safe and, you know, doing well. It's not like, oh, hey, did you hear that? You know, Uncle Joey passed away last month. No, I'm still alive, I swear. But I do want to send my condolences about your mom. Or your dad, I mean, Nick. You know. But,
did we lose
Nick? Yeah, it's so, you know, cool to be back on with everybody. Ron, Tom, Nick, Francie. And
cool to hear from you, too.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, throughout the history of Francie and Friends, too, I don't know if Joe was a part of this or Ron or JL. There's a lot of people. Like Craig Spector John Skip, Jonathan Mayberry, people that are really kind of important in my world with horror writing, horror fiction and stuff that have graced Francie and Friends too. It's just there's been times where she would have people like these on her show, and even like really great celebrities. Elvira and you know, that were in Solomon Burke, for Pete's sake,
Soul
singer, and that actually introduced me to a lot of his work and stuff. We actually went to his wake. All kinds of things with Francie and Friends. Her show has really been kind of really extraordinary in my personal life. It's amazing stuff as a result of her show really turned into experiences.
One of the really cool confessions, JL, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, remember when, speaking of Solomon Burke, and I said, hey, JL, we got Solomon Burke on the show, and you were with me with that, and you were like, oh, you know, because the name, we're in the 2000s now. Okay, who's Solomon Burke? And I said, JL, Google him. You emailed me and you said, holy shit.
Right.
That's the original Blue Brothers. I was like, thank you. You got it now. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. And then a little while later, you're going to have him on your show again with Jerry Lee Lewis. And a week before that happened, he passed away on an airplane, Solomon Burke did.
Yeah.
Just a week before that, with him and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, I came home from a lunch break from my daytime job, and everybody, in fact, it was Pete Ostrom, who said, I'm so sorry to hear about Solomon Burke, which reminds me,
can you get Jerry Lee Lewis
related to the Burke family?
We didn't eventually. We Ed, we were going to, Ed, and we didn't because the show just kind of went kaput after Solomon's passing, so we didn't get Jerry Lee Lewis either.
That was great, though.
And he's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like 85.
With all of his health issues, he's like a Timex watch. Jerry Lee Lewis just keeps on ticking.
Yeah, like Cher.
Don't call him a killer for nothing.
But I started listening to Fred, are you gonna eventually
sing that song, or do you have somebody else?
Go ahead.
Sing the song.
Go for it.
Nick wrote a special song. He's been writing this for a long time.
Well, not a long time, but I torture Francie with stuff. I'm kind of a punster. My mind goes a mile a minute sometimes, and when I'm, like, pacing around, I think of something stupid, and I go inside the house, and I tell Francie that something stupid. So some reason this song was in my head a little while ago, and then I started like a Weird Al, kind of like changing the lyrics a little bit. But it's going to really inspire everybody, I betcha. And it goes something like this. Okay, I'm going to take a little breath here, and goes something like this. Okay.
Say,
I got dogs cooking in the microwave. Got a week's worth of sausage from Lassie's remains. And my Snoopy soup will make you go insane. Oh, I think it's canine tonight. And it's a great Dane. He's not alive, but his ribs are queuing underneath my chimes. There's a lot of dogs in the neighborhood. I bet every one of them tastes just as good. A rinsing tin can of wiener dog stew poured across the liver of Scooby-Doo. That's why he's in the ICU. He's not doing all right. And it's a great Dane. He's not alive, but his ribs are queuing underneath my chimes. There's a lot of dogs in the neighborhood. I bet every one of them tastes just as good.
Let me just say.
Tell me you're
going to
release
this musical,
Nick.
Oh, I'll release it.
Music expressed by Nicholas Grabowski do not reflect those of Francie.
Oh, come on. That was funny.
It is funny.
Nick, you need to
get
that produced and get that on a TikTok video, like that's an ASAP.
Yeah, something like that. I'd like think of a new verse, and I would go back in to Francie, and I would like sing it. She'd go, no, not dogs, no. Yeah, that made me want to score.
I think it'd be more fun if you
it up to the next level. Download one of those ASPCA commercials and then change the music.
And then make sure you hashtag PETA in it because that will get you some press there. Yeah.
Yep. There we go.
You know, I think the beauty of that song is you guys had no idea what I was going to start singing about. And then it just started, and you guys thinking, what?
As I know from the time we got together at that convention in Gettysburg, my God, in 2010, that was 11 years ago, you were pretty good at the karaoke there.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah, I wish I had more
Conventions again.
Oh yeah, I plan on eventually.
I think they're bringing the Macabre Fair back. It'll be in Nashville, Tennessee in September.
Yeah.
Every time I go, like, to the East Coast and come back, I get really sick. I don't know why.
He does.
I get, like, sores. I get, like, really, like, fluish, and I don't know why.
He got blisters.
I kind of feel like Woody Allen, who doesn't leave New York, you know, that legend of how Woody Allen never leaves New York. I kind of feel like that's me with California. Every time I leave, unless I go to, like, Arizona or Nevada or something close, I get really sick, like, on plane trips. I don't know why.
Well, you're a little out of the loop, because about 5 years ago, Woody Allen moved to Paris, France.
Yeah.
You see, that's where Roman Polanski fled to after having sex with a teenage girl. And Woody Allen was getting too much heat for his relation with Soon Lee, so he moved to Paris, where they just totally accepted the fact that he was, married to his stepdaughter.
Okay.
Fitting.
I'm sure I could adapt if I went somewhere else, but I'm still staying in I'm a Californian all my life.
You'll hit the road and come to a convention again. I hope you'll venture out east and bring Francie with you.
Yeah. Side point to all that is it's always worth it.
I believe at the Macabre Fair, I don't want to jump the gun, but we submitted it as an entry. I believe they'll have a movie I'm very proud of that I starred in and co-wrote and co-produced. It's called The Killer Clown Meets the Candyman.
Oh, I've seen
I've seen that.
It's a very dark satire on real American serial killers. I play probably the worst of the worst, Dean Corll, the Texas Candyman killer. And it was a challenging role, I'll say, for the least.
Watching a movie that I have on DVD that has you in it about a plague or something.
Remind me. I've done over 100 of these movies now. I'm forgetting which one was about a plague.
Oh, no. I'd have to actually go dig. But I have it actually just in my library. I've got, like, you know, movies that all I have to do is look at the shelf, and the front cover is just right there. So, and that means
Is it Cameron Scott's movie, Postmortem
America? No, it's not. It's not, actually. It's something I didn't know about before. Damn it. Oh, you know
mold?
What?
You know about, like, mold, right? Is it mold?
Mold. Yes.
Mold is one of my best movies, but I'm very proud of that. You'll see me clean shaven in that, too. I play an army colonel.
Yeah.
Cool.
I try to be a little bit like William Holden, a little bit like Lee Marvin in that.
Oh, cool.
It's about a biological weapon, a military germ warfare experiment deliberately released onto the public, just like we're living through now.
Yeah, maybe, not quite as extreme as what I gather from the back of the DVD, but something similar. I can get what you're going at.
By the way, tonight was Oscar night. Were any of you watching the Oscars earlier?
No.
Six hours of elitist Hollywood assholes giving each other rim jobs.
I'm not interested like I used to. I used to really pay attention to them back in the, you know, Chevy Chase
too.
/ what's his name, Billy Crystal days, and growing up too, even growing up in the 70s and 80s and stuff, always watched the Oscars. I remember watching the Oscars on my TV set in my apartment 1991 or two, three, two, on a small black and white TV set watching the Oscars and seeing Silence of the Lambs win. And but I mean, these days, the last few days, I don't care about. There's not really a lot of movies that excite me these days.
This is proof that the Oscars are worthless. The Human Centipede never even got a single Oscar nomination, so that there's no value to the Oscars. They're worthless.
Human Centipede, I can see why the Oscars wouldn't probably appreciate that. But at the same time, I mean, there's a lot of stuff they should appreciate, and they don't anyway.
They had a celebration for movies that nobody saw over the past year. It's like
I was watching it. They do have a tendency to do that.
Saw any of these, and there was a lot of political speeches. It really was getting to be too much. I got to give credit. The only guy who had any degree of dignity and honor and really was inspiring was Tyler Perry, who won the Humanitarian Award. Tyler Perry is a good man.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I didn't watch any of the Oscars because I was waiting on the phone, you know. And I didn't win any Oscars either. So, you know, you wouldn't have to listen to me speak for 2 hours, okay? They'd kick me out. They'd go, shut up. Get out of here, Joe Flynn. Yeah, okay.
Well, I bet if
you're
I was nominated, I would watch them.
What was it like, Joe, working with Tim Conway and Ernest Borgnine? That must have been exciting.
Oh, they were a blast, man. And then, of course, I really wanted to try out and work with the greats like Vincent Price and stuff like that, and they turned me down, damn it. No, and by the way, talk about Vincent Price. We're actually, for our upcoming shows, we're doing two shows this week. One is on a movie called The Day of Reckoning, which is a.k.a. called Virus from 1980. And then the other one is The Masquerade of the Red Death.
That's Roger Corman's best small movie. That's terrific. American International at its peak.
Yes, we're going to be talking about that film as well. So in like within a few days after we get done filming this, it'll be up on YouTube so everyone can watch it. So go give it a like.
Great.
Stuff like that. So. There's like four of us doing commentary, not really. It's just four of us talking about what we thought of the film and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun, you know. Well, it's all depending on our fourth friend who, is having a hard time with his legs. So hopefully Kevin, and I'll just say Kevin, hopefully he'll get better and, you know, with his leg injury and all that, he'll be on. So it'll be a lot of fun. So
who was the actress in that with Vincent Price? Was it Hazel Court?
Yes, it was Hazel Court and not me, I tell you that much. Because it was funny because I was actually watching that film and also The Raven. Everyone remember The Raven with Vincent
Peter
Price,
Lurie,
Peter Lorre,
horror comedy.
Jack
that was young Jack Nicholson. You had Peter Lorre, Karloff, Vincent Price, and Nicholson. And I believe Nicholson. Maybe it was at the Terror. I believe Nicholson's first wife might have been in that. Was Sandra?
She was in the Terror.
After the Terror where they met.
Sandra Knight.
Yeah, that's his first film.
Actually, his first film was actually a crime drama called The Crybaby Killer.
That's probably true.
He was 19 years old. He had hitchhiked
from New Jersey out to California and was like auditioning everywhere and got cast in this Corman picture, the Crybaby Killer, and Corman took a liking to him. If Corman took a liking to you, you were guaranteed to do a lot of work for him, like the way Dick Miller worked for Roger Corman his whole life, correct?
Oh,
his whole professional life.
I remember good old Dick Miller. And yeah, it just like with Nick, you know, reading one of his books, it's like, what, Nick? What are you saying? Matterhorn? You want me to reread it again? For the 50th time?
It's a big book.
Is a big book. No, and thank you, William, for the friend request. I see that. You know,
no problem.
You know, I just like, all of a sudden I'm looking on my Facebook and all of a sudden I see, you have a friend request. Who is this? Why am I want to be friends with anyone? I'm antisocial.
Don't worry, I always ask that question too. You go down the checklist. You know, do I want to? Maybe, possibly. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Do I know you? And Nick, do I really know you? No, I'm just joking, Nick. Don't worry, William, I'll add you. It's just like, you
don't
know,
worry.
It's hilarious because there are times where I'll look and I go, hey, you know how you get those random friends requests and you're just kind of like, hey, I have a friend with Ron Fitzgerald. Okay, I'll add that person. Yeah. Don't do it.
That should be your first warning.
Yeah, that's it. Run for the hills. No, but,
it's fun how these days you get the newer ones that are always the widows looking for the next one.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, I'm on TikTok. Follow me. No.
Yeah.
No, thanks. You know, I don't do TikTok, okay?
Really.
I don't knock TikTok because I'm also hanging out on a stream site called Twitch. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of
Twitch. I'm familiar with Twitch. For gaming.
I hang out and I listen to a lot of musicians and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them do have TikToks, and I kind of go like, okay, I'll check it out. You should be on the slide going like, nice TikTok. I got to go now. Excuse me. But, yeah, you know, and again, you know, it's like I'm enjoying being on Twitch, just watching the musicians play music and stuff like that. And, you know, occasionally I'll see, like, you know, Mr. Lobo occasionally is on there, I think, you know, and a few other people. But, you know, it's really a fun little thing. But it's just sort of like, there we go. Sorry, I'm confirming I got lost in my other friend's request. So, William, you're now a friend of mine. So,
there you go.
But, yeah. And again, my show's doing well. I haven't done a show in a while, but I will be doing shows soon, and people can watch them over online off of Create TV every Friday night at 11:30 PST, and then 2:30 East Coast time. I'm up now. I like those late nights. But, yeah, again, it's pretty wild. And, Nick, man, your birthday's coming up. You're catching up to me. You got to stop aging.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, I'm thinking, hold on, when you said you were born that year, I was like, going like, oh, my God, I'm actually older than you. Never mind. Never mind.
Nobody's older than me.
I take that all back. I'm taking it all back. No. But it's funny because most of you guys who don't know, I actually met Nick through, well, we're at a Fangoria convention out in L.A., Burbank. And we're just, like, walking around looking for people to interview. So we saw Nick at his little booth, and we go, like, hey, dude, can we interview you? And so we interviewed Nick, and that's how I met Nick and how we've kept in contact all through the years. Just going, like, hey, what do you got going on, Nick? You got anything exciting you want to share with your friend Joe?
Hey,
I'll spill the beans, man. You know, that's right. Nicholas Skubanski writing an epic bookseller about his life and story. That's all horror. And he chops up Joe Flynn with an axe. That is the story. Whatever happened to that Joe Flynn guy on the next 60 minutes? No, but again, again, I hope you have a great birthday, Nick. I really do.
Oh, thank you. I will. I hope. I live that
long.
What can you do out in California? You're so locked down there.
I don't care.
I take care of my mom. I barbecue. I watch cool movie stuff and work on the books and have my animals and my garden and everything else. So that's
there you go.
I'd like to hear what you think. I'm very proud of Mold. I guess did I mail you that DVD?
No, you didn't. I got it off of eBay.
That's one of my very best performances. And there's a sequel to it. There's a sequel called Maggots, which I don't believe is on DVD, but if you have Netflix, you could like watch it for $2. We did a sequel to Mold, Maggots. I told Neil, I said,
I'm gonna have to remember that.
It begins with an M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Francie. Where's Francie?
I'm right here. Yes, honey.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I thought you were both in the same room.
Yeah.
We're not.
Francie, if we were in the same room, we would be echoing.
Okay.
Trying not to echo.
Echo.
It's the sequel to Altered States.
Francie, what are you doing?
I'm messaging people to Sue didn't have the plug in her phone. Ron, are you still there?
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm still here.
I'm here.
Live and kicking.
Okay, Ron, message Sue and say plug in your phone and call the damn show.
No, you should try to reach. You should try to
see if I can get a hold of her.
He might not be awake now because he's out here in New York.
Oh no, she's awake. She's active.
But you should try to reach Don Feldman.
I'll tell you what.
Remember Don Feldman?
Wait, Ron, call Ron. Clapper.
Yes.
But then again, call in, damn it.
Well, hold on. How about if we all message her at once and flood Messenger?
Ron has the magic number. But you know he's dark, sticky fun.
Yes, it's time for the magic, Ron.
Yeah. He always tries to reach John Lennon.
Francie,
yes,
did you tell me that Eric Shuttleworth had something?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Why Ron is trying to get Dent on the phone, there is a message from Eric Shutterford. Okay, hold on.
Shuttleworth.
Oh, by the way. Hold on.
He did a couple of books with the Evil Houses.
What would that be?
One and two.
Sue fucking Dent?
There she is.
Hey, Francie, you know who else is here?
Who?
Sue fucking Dent.
Sue Dent. Oh. All right. Sue fucking Dent.
You want to have her say hello? I got to find her first. She must have stepped out for a minute.
Right.
But Sue fucking Dent is here tonight. Yeah.
Who do we have on tonight?
We have Sue fucking Dent is on tonight. We have Sue fucking Dent tonight. If she ever comes on, is she on?
Here.
She's too busy talking in the chat room.
I'm kidding. All right, so there's a little story about Sue.
Hey, Nick, it's Eric. I just got a message from your lady. I hope you get this recording. I just want to let you know that I'm thinking of you, and I hope that everything's going okay. And, you know, hello from the middle of the country, and, you know, keep up doing what you're doing. I appreciate everything you do. Talk to you later. Bye.
Aww.
That's groovy.
Ain't that sweet?
That is sweet.
We love you, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Eric Shuttleworth did Evil Houses Parts 1 and 2. They're available. They're great collections. Ghost Story collections. They're really great. You guys got to check it out.
Yeah, he has a work.
He's also a moderator of Coronation on Facebook, which is sponsored by Black Bedsheet Books.
I got another message. Okay. We're probably going to have another caller, and I think you're going to like this one.
Is that a ring around the collar?
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is. You like all the callers. What are you talking about? John Link?
All right. They want to call in. And
they? There's more
I
than
think
one?
You're going to... I got to tell you, if there's... We got to message Joe Moe, too.
Oh, boy. Who forgot?
Joe Moe forgot.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna yell at him.
No, not.
Oh, that. Joe Flynn said, "Tell everybody that he said bye."
Right.
Oh,
bye, Joe.
Okay.
I'll watch him on the reruns of McHale's Navy, and thank you for him fondly.
Oh, we got a caller. I think I know who this is.
John
Nick?
Link.
Nick, hold yourself down.
Yeah, I'm right here.
We're going to be on the roller coaster ride because I think we got the twins. Do we have the twins?
Hello?
Eric Cole, 503. Oh, we got the twins.
It's so good to hear you. So good to hear you.
I told you it's gonna be a roller coaster ride. Get prepared. We got the twins.
So Nick, we're so happy that Francie did the surprise show.
I know. How special.
Thanks for you and for your friendship and and all the lives you touched and just your creativity and heart and compassion for others, and we're just so blessed to know you guys and we were having so much fun. We've been with our little sister playing with her and praying for you guys the whole time, so it's just been really great to hear your voices.
Really special.
And we love you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Wow. That's
now,
what's really neat,
what,
guys.
What's
you're
really
creative
cool
too.
Oh, what's really cool, Nick said that you two are very creative.
Oh, thank you, Nick.
Yeah, you're very creative. I like your videos and everything, too. And you guys reaching out all the time
your like cards,
you.
Your seasonal.
Well, we have so much fun doing it.
The Easter
just...
card was fantastic.
Oh wow! Thank you. Well, you understand. Anita does all the editing, so you understand the how that actually is a real challenge to get things lined up to music and everything else.
It's not always right, but it's fun to try.
So that means a lot coming from you because you have a more idea of the process of what that entails for, like, you know, trying to line up the puppet shows and the voices or something. You know, I don't really do that part, but she's really good at it.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
So
well,
cute.
You both are really.
Awesome.
It's a team effort.
Yep.
Team effort. Yeah,
exactly.
You can do a lot that I can't hear.
It is.
And it's
yeah,
really interesting how
we're identical. They're just like...
It's really interesting
how
identical twins, but we have different, you know, talent
and
different interests.
God's given us really different, like, things that we can focus on. Like, Rachel, I can't draw at all. But
yeah, it's really interesting that how, you know, you can see identical twins and the genetics are identical, you know, how God's, you know, creativity and his, you know, creating us differently is so obvious in it, because, you know, it's like you can't deny it that there's something else to it other than just environment and genes that, you know, is making that person, you know, that God's a part of it and creating that in your life.
Yeah,
so,
that's
so
great.
What, and the one cool thing that I got to, we got to know you with is the fact that we had Matthew Ewald on the show. And
yes.
I said, Matthew Ewald, and we got to know you guys. And Matthew Ewald even said, I love this.
God used Matthew to draw us to you guys. That's really cool.
I know, it's like if Gellner
Matthew
gave us
one of my
you guys too,
as
friends
as well
as Matthew.
He's got
yeah, incredible. I mean, goodness, we are, wow, I'm so blessed.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to California, and Nick said, oh, you got to get Matthew Ewald on the show, and I posted it, and Matthew Ewald. We became friends, and then you got to know Nick, and then you got to know us, and we talked a lot. And I got to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and announce it on Francie and Friends. The twins have helped us in a lot of our needs. And...
That's
you
cool.
know that goes both ways because your friendship is
yeah.
so much to us. And everything we have, we believe is from Jesus anyway. So if we can pass a little of God's love on to anybody, it's just a privilege, you know. It's a
you
blessing.
Get
and you get
oh, well,
back so much
you.
More. We are
that.
So blessed. I mean, your friendship is everything. So thank you.
Well,
that's
awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes. That's great.
Yeah, thank you, too. You guys, you guys
love
are
you. We love you.
Incredible.
So yay for Matthew bringing us all together too. So
exactly. We think about that. How God
has such a plan.
God has such fun ways of connecting people. I love it.
Like through Galador, we got to have you
well,
two as friends.
And our little sister has decided that we need to go. So,
but we love. She's found where he keeps the apples, and she's thrown all the apples in front of us and given us a bowl. So I think she's very clearly asking for a snack. It's so fun to talk with you. We'll keep listening. We love you guys so much.
Yeah. Bye, Nick.
Love
bye,
you too.
Well, that was cheerful.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome right there.
Where's
I'm in the mood for apples for some
reason. I'm sorry, Mike. Phone dropped a call, and I had to call back in.
Who was that?
Can you hear me?
Your own phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
you.
Phone dropped a call, and thank goodness I memorized my PIN number.
You're clear, loud and clear, loud and clear.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
We hear
you. Good.
You should try
okay.
to get your hands on John Link.
I
Yeah, the missing link.
Or how about Don Feldman? Remember Don Feldman?
Don.
Yeah, I think he's active on Facebook tonight.
He was like a great authority. He's like a Forrest Ackerman type guy. He knows all about all the old horror and sci-fi movies. It'd be great if you get Don back on.
I'm kind of looking for Joe Moe and Sue Dent.
But I'm eager to hear what Nick thinks of Mold when he watches it. I'm very proud of that role.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear that, to watch that too.
But you got to check me out as Dean Corll, the Candyman killer. That will probably be screened at the Macabre Fair Film Festival in late September in Nashville. You should try to make it to Nashville and bring Francie with you. It's been too long. I haven't seen her face to face. Wrong. You animals out there though, out in California. You got pets, right?
Oh yeah, we have pets. We've got cats, birds.
You haven't eaten them, right? Like with that song, you only eat dogs, right?
Only dogs.
Oh god.
No.
little gal ding
let,
there.
Don't let that get around though. There's a lot of dogs missing around here, so you never know.
No,
you guys forget Chinese. You have Chinese restaurants in town?
I just kind of took a hint from something I saw from North Korea and thought, okay, there we go.
I was gonna say that song would be a big hit in Korea or somewhere like that.
Yeah, Francie's had one, and she doesn't even know it either.
So what kind of living pets do you have right
it's not
now?
Dogs. It was the possums that were passing through. And the geese that fly every day over the house, sometimes I get that shotgun, you know, save some money.
Granny Clampett made a mean possum stew, remember?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
Now they're telling you not to touch possums because they get rid of the ticks and other bad things, so they help out the
not if they're roadkill. You can, scoop that puppy up, put it in a pot.
Yep, you have some awesome possum then. That's okay. I'm not eating anything that looks like a rat. Unless I'm
it's awesome possum.
Actually, but an opossum is not a rat. An opossum is an American marsupial. It's actually more closely related to the kangaroo.
I know.
That's
yeah.
true.
So
I looked them
like
up.
That's true. I know. I just work at the Detroit Zoo, so, you know.
Pittsburgh Zoo.
It's a ratsupio.
Yeah.
But of course, if you startle it, it sounds almost like the xenomorph of an alien.
I got a story to tell you.
The day you were born.
We should all make a movie about a possum that morphs.
Yeah.
Into
you were born on May. You were born May 7th of 66.
Yes.
Believe it or not, I remember where I was on your 20th birthday. I wonder if you could remember your 20th birthday.
I remember my 21st
I was on the Jersey Shore in Long Beach Island in the dead of night about 3 a.m. and it was really cold too, and I was trying to view through some big telescope on the beach. I was trying to view Halley's Comet, which was a total bust, a total disappointment. It was barely visible to the naked eye. And sort of a fuzzy smudge, even to this big telescope on the beach. But I remember it was May 7th of 66. You were celebrating turning 20, getting ready to drink legally a year later. You were probably already drinking, though, I imagine. You weren't following the rules.
Oh, no. I was on the surface, yes, but I would always like to get into my dad's garage and steal his peach wine.
We can discuss this now. It was a long time ago. beyond the statute of limitations.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, who all remembers Boone's Farms?
Oh, Boone's
are you kidding?
Oh, Lord.
That was more for the women I dated. And then I would get
that was a girly drink. Yeah, the Boone's Farm strawberry wine. It was for girlies who were afraid to do some serious drinking.
Oh, you forgot Andy Green Springs, William, and Mad Dog 2020, and
Gay Swan.
Those are the cheap stuff.
Haley's Comet, though, back in that date. I'm glad it wasn't any closer because we'd all be space vampires.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That was a bust, but you know, a decade later, we had 10 years later, we had two spectacular comets in the same year, Haya 2K and Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp is a favorite of mine because it's tied into a mass murder suicide. There's a horror movie in that that nobody's exploited yet.
Give it time. There's a think tank somewhere.
I heard every time a comet flies past the Earth, NASA has a big net and they catch it, and then they turn it into something that's competitive with Ajax.
See, I mean. Haley's Comet only comes by once every 76 years, so it was supposed to be a big deal, but it was just like a little tiny smudge in the sky.
Yeah, I remember that back then.
Wasn't there another one a few years later that came by, too?
It's like, okay, can't even see it.
Yeah. There was one the short time, 2000s, that came by. You could see it plain in the sky. It comes by every so often.
Well, Hale-Bopp was real visible.
Was that Hale-Bopp?
In the early evening. That was in 96. And that was visible early in the evening. There was also, in the same year, there was Haya 2K, which you could only see in the wee hours of the morning. But that was quite spectacular, too. It was more translucent, but it stretched across almost the entire sky from horizon to horizon. But you had to get up at like 5 a.m. to see it.
Oh, wow.
Anybody that's ever
read The Everborn that I wrote knows that I've spent a good deal of my life crazy about UFO research and what's really going on beyond this earth. That kind of just makes me think about stuff like that. I actually, for the record, I believe in some of the conspiracies about the moon and about UFOs in general. I subscribe to some of the ancient alien stuff, too. I think that there's more that's going to be actually revealed over the course of time. Did you know that this June
the U.S. government stuff? I mean, the Air Force and the Navy is now admitting that they exist, and we don't know what the fuck these things are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been in the news. So they've come out and said, we're tired of covering it up and saying it's weather balloons. We are admitting it. We don't know what the hell these things are. And it's as if they came from some other planet because they're defying laws of physics as we know it. So the government is already, I don't know if they're just easing us into it and they're preparing for it. I mean, why are they suddenly deciding to, fess up and say, yep, we've known about them a long time, and they blow our minds. We don't know what the fuck we're looking at.
You know, guys,
you know, a lot
is,
of times when I look at conspiracies, be it politics, UFOs, you know, things that are beyond our normal life that are kind of interesting if they were true. I look to the kinds of people that are reputable, that have good, solid reputations, and I can't stop but think about the Canadian Prime Minister that actually says on record that the United States has been meeting with ET beings. And then recently, there's a big military general in Israel that came out to the world about how, yes, that is true. They're meeting with, you know, ETs. And over the years, there's like, and I pay attention to these because I've always paid attention. And there's some things that I'd like, that would be really curious to me over a certain year. And then the next year, they would be like, you know, it would be like real to me that they're not true. But it was like, you know, they had like some fake original Apollo stuff going to the moon and seeing aliens on a spaceship in their rooms. And it was all fake. And then, you know, things, but then you start like paying attention to the people that actually matter the most over a space of time in the government. In the governments of the world that have staked their reputations on stuff like this. And it's just, yeah. There's all kinds of, like, really ridiculous, like, stuff, and it all amounts to something that is yet to be revealed. And I bet you anything, once it's revealed, all the evangelicals are gonna equate that to the second coming of Christ and all that, and it's not going to be the case. Anyway, that's in a nutshell. Nick has prophesied what the next steps are going to be. I think that whatever the UFOs, even Bigfoot, I always thought that if something like that exists, if it does, it's going to be revealed in time. It's not another 100 years and not know what UFOs are. We're going to know by then. I guarantee it. So over the course of time, we'll figure it out.
Have you seen my movie, Bigfoot Blood Trap?
Oh, no. You have a movie called Bigfoot Blood Trap?
Yeah, and John Link's in that, too. I play a mad cryptozoologist. And John Link is my mute midget assistant. We capture a live Bigfoot. This is a notorious movie we did. It's the dirtiest, raunchiest Bigfoot movie you ever saw.
I gotta see that. Not only do I have a couple of selections in my DVD/Blu-ray library with you in them, but with John Link as well. So
yeah,
I always like, because I
Bigfoot
know you
Bigfoot Blood Trap you'd love.
I probably normally, because I didn't know you guys, wouldn't have, like, I don't know, but because I know you guys, I want to see what you guys do. So I try to collect what I can.
Yeah. You
and
know,
Mr.
Nick,
Hush
my dad,
is underrated.
Look, that's what makes it more entertaining, too.
Yeah. You know, Nick, my dad watched
like
this
Agent
Alien.
Like I said, if you look up, you could find it in the archives online. If you look up The Daily Show, April 19th, 2021, which was last Monday, I'm wearing the Mr. Hush vampire fangs on the show. Which
it was odd because I saw the whole episode, and throughout your whole interview, you didn't explain reason for the fangs. They were just there. And people thought it was odd. I kind of thought, well, okay, and it made me think of Mr. Hush, but you didn't say anything about you were in movies at all. You were just talking about politics and, you know, what you were there for and the whole thing. And it was like, I bet you that everybody that saw that was going, that's odd that he's got
a thing. Well, you know, they made their selective editing because I did explain, but they edited it out. I explained that I acted in horror movies, and these were a pair of vampire faggots I had professionally made. And I said I was wearing them because I'm a tiger. I'm an endangered species, you know, conservative living in New York. But they cut all that out. So there I was. They didn't explain why I'm wearing these teeth. And everybody's telling me I should shave my beard. But I'm afraid. Yeah, I'm kind of afraid to shave this beard because it's like, wow, this is like 13. This is like over a year's worth of work to grow this beard. And if I cut it, it's gone. It's like I achieved something not shaving for a year.
It's not gone because you could always grow it back. That's the beauty of being a male with regards to facial hairs. You could be like, what was that? When I was a kid growing up, I was like 6 years old, and there was this pretty much naked guy. It sounds like I was being molested. No, it was a toy. And you would, like, use a little magnet wand and put the little magnet things over his face to make him a beard and to, like, do stuff. I forgot what that was.
I remember that. That's when toys
were. It reminds me of Operation, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it was with the little
pen. So I remember that. The toys were cool then. Now they're all computerized.
Yeah.
Back then they were practical and tactile.
Yeah, yeah. Reminds me of that. You can, like, give him a beard and then just shake it and it all falls off and give him a mustache. And
when I was a kid, my favorite toy were the creepy crawlers with the thing maker, where you'd have this extremely hot, dangerous little oven, really hot and very dangerous. And you were working with molten plastic.
Oh, you're talking about the thing maker?
Like the Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah.
The thing maker with the plastic critters, the insects you'd make,
yeah.
Little monsters. I loved it, but it was quite a dangerous toy. But that's when kids had, you know, that's when kids had cool young.
Something called,
you know?
Feely Mealy, where you could cook the stuff in, like, a bugs that looked like they were made out of, like, a stuff that cook, you know, so you could eat them.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad, you know. So they make toys are for pussies now.
Yeah.
or the wood burning pens with a 2-foot long wire,
yeah.
So you
yeah.
can be very close to the socket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
remember
kid,
going
too.
To Toys R Us and walking the aisle with all the chemistry sets.
You can't get good toy guns anymore. When I was a little kid, you could get toy guns that actually shot plastic bullets with springs, like projectile
yep.
bullets. Those were the days.
Oh, remember the cap
just
guns?
Like the original Boba Fett doll.
That's,
I could have
yeah.
sworn I had
guns?
That. It's a legend now. I could have sworn, and that was back in the day. I don't know
yeah.
whatever happened to that, but it's a legend now. I remember I had that.
Remember the cap guns?
Oh, my God. Nick, if you had one of those, you could have had a
great
early retirement.
Huh? Yeah, if, you know, but I remember having it in my room when I was a kid, when I used to steal Star Wars dolls from FedMart, because I used to. It was terrible. My dad would, like, go shopping, take me to FedMart, which is, like, you know, a department store back in the day, and I would always go to, like, this big bin that they had of the latest, like, Empire Strikes Back Star Wars dolls, and then I would take a whole bunch with me, go into the garden section, into one of the display sheds, and take them out of the packages, stuff them into my pocket. I did that for, like, 7 or 8 months. And then one day, and I'll never let this be a lesson to me, my dad took me, just me and him, to McDonald's. Had a great time, and he said, let's go to FedMart. So I went to FedMart. I did that again. I got caught, and I got arrested. They called my dad over the loudspeaker, and like a baby, I cried in the back room saying, yeah, I stole 11 stormtroopers, I stole 2 Lando Calrissians and Sand Troopers and Darth Vaders and Princess Leia's. And my dad had to pay like $50. And it's like,
oh damn!
Yeah, I just thought I'd damn. Love on that. It's just terrible. That was a lesson to me about that and stealing.
So you're an ex con.
Toy collection. Huh?
Yeah. You're an ex con.
Yeah.
You're a former criminal. Life
yeah.
crime.
Former criminal. Yeah, they were looking. They told me they were searching for me for about 6 or 7 months and stuff.
It was my
just,
friend
you know,
Nick.
It was my friend.
Yeah.
I got a message from Jim Knight Burke. He said he's been trying to call into the show twice, and the show hung up on him twice. Is there another way?
That's a bummer. Well, you're beyond the 2 hours, so you probably can't get in now.
Yeah. It's probably after party.
Beyond the 2 hours?
Probably.
I love you all, but I can't stay on much longer. I gotta. It's after one in the morning here. I gotta be at work in the morning.
Yeah, I got a few things I gotta do before I retire tonight. I gotta work more on David Gretzky's book because that's the first book of the year. And then I wanna watch the rest of Ginger Snaps because I've never seen it. Started watching the first half last night. So I'm gonna watch the second half.
Great movie.
Have a couple of tamales.
That's one of the best werewolf movies. The original.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
It looks like it. Looks good so far.
It's going to get better. Trust me.
Awesome. I for the first time also last week, I watched Dog Soldiers.
That's
$7 on Blu-ray on eBay and watched it. I was impressed with that, too. Great characters.
Yeah.
I only wish that they would have had a good werewolf movie for me. Always had a good werewolf transformation. Dog Soldiers didn't show that, but it was still good. But I love a good transformation.
Well, nothing. In my opinion, old school. Nothing tops Lon Chaney Jr. Jack Pierce's makeup there. It's my favorite transformation. By the way, Nick,
really cool.
do you have Amazon Prime on your TV lineup?
Not Prime, no. I used to, but I've kind of narrowed things down a little bit to, we've got a money thing, going on.
I understand. I've got a couple of movies that are free on Amazon Prime, if you remember, if you had that. The Tom Churchill's movie, The Emerging Past. I've got a big role in that. That's a free on Amazon Prime right now.
Quick, for your birthday.
You probably would enjoy Bigfoot Blood Trip.
Nick.
I got to look that up too.
Nick.
It's on a rental channel
I have a message from you from Gemini Burt. Are you ready?
Yes, son of Solomon Berg, the great soul singer.
Yes, and
Gemini's a great soul singer too.
Gemini's a very great soul singer. He says, "Love the old." He didn't say old. He said, "Ole, Lion King."
He always calls me the Lion King and stuff. Yeah.
That's because you were quiet throughout the whole show. And, Edward, you remember that show when we had the Legends of Souls on the show. And Nick took over the phone, and I was like, oh, the lion is out of his skin.
Ta-da. Yeah, there's been times on Francie's show where I would listen, then it would be time for me to come on, then I would, give everybody, a big mouthful of something.
But, hey, nothing wrong with that, though.
you'd store it up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I had three.
Usually something that's supposed to be profound, and then I think about it later and I go, I'm glad I said that or something.
There's something in here that's making me sleep.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think
that
speaks well of a man that has that many people calling and offering tribute to him. So.
Yeah, I really appreciate all this. It was a great night to just kind of chill and, talk to people and stuff. All week I've been working on books, trying to get the first stuff out for before spring, before my birthday, actually, too. So by the end of this week, if y'all pay attention to anything Black Bedsheet online, especially like on Facebook on our group page. I'm going to make some announcements this week, new cool stuff that's coming out. At the same time, I'm going back and forth between doing that and doing some yard work to get everything ready for summer. I got a great garden, saves a ton of money. I got eggplant and all kinds of tomatoes and peppers and herbs and okra and tomatillos, and I could go on and stuff. I'm a big believer in doing that. We got the space.
I got another message for you. Tell him he's my brother, scary, spooky, one, but still my brother. Jim and I sent you that message.
Oh, cool.
Nice, very nice.
Show with Jim
very fitting.
Burke again.
Yeah, and Gemini is kind of looking to me to help him get into movies. If I can get anybody into movies, I've got like a plethora of authors. On top of that, though, I'm thinking of like making a screenplay that centers on him somehow, like a, kind of like a Candyman kind of thing. But I'm trying to wrap my head around it because he's hoping I could do that for him, and I can figure it out. Because, you know, one thing on my bucket list, one thing I want to do is direct a movie. I've tried
okay
a couple of times,
you
and you know, life gets in the way, but I want to direct
writers
some.
Best directors
yeah
are the writers, anyhow.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I almost did that with Cutting Edges, about a guy that shaving cream can, the shaving cream comes out and turns into a creature that tells him that he could do anything with razor blades. And he helps him kill people, and there's a lot of mayhem. And I wrote a, like, 20-minute short script for it. And I'd like to do something more with that. Something, you know, eventually. I've got authors that have made movies like Jeff Carroll, Raina Young. I want to do something like that, too. At least get it out in Walmart or, you know, get a good distribution gig with that bit of funding, great vision, people that want to have fun, put them together, make something magical.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
That's when the fun really starts. It's when the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which hopefully would be, in this scenario, at the get-go. So, you know, I've got, like, ideas and things. So I want to do that. Bucket list.
Nick,
movie.
Another message is from Solomon. He can't be with us live, but he's telling me on Facebook, we're messaging each other. He's typing right now. He does say that he does love you, and I told him that you said you love him too, and he said thank you for being such an awesome friend.
Oh, he's an awesome friend too. And thanks to you, Francie, because if it wasn't for your show and people like J.L., you know, and stuff back in the day, then I wouldn't have been introduced to any of these people like Solomon Burke, hence Gemini, and, you know, all these other everybody. And so I've brought a lot of people to your show, too.
But, yeah,
you know,
I introduced you to good music.
Well, I introduced you to some great horror authors.
I know. It's not a competition. I love you. Okay, Nick, here's what I'm gonna leave my closing arguments. I'm actually tearing up just thinking about this right now because I'm gonna tell you. You are my best friend. When I when I think of you, I smile. Oh, 100%. I don't even have to be with you. If I'm away from you, I think of you, I smile. Why do I smile? Because you're a nice person. And I hope that you understand how much of a nice person, because people got together tonight to let you know how nice you are. And they came together because you're a nice person.
Yeah.
And I will even tell you throughout the day, I love you, you're so cute, and you say, I know. And my next response is, I'm so glad you know. Because you're a beautiful person, Nick. And it doesn't matter how bad of a day one of us might have, you sing and dance. And you press forward.
Oh, okay, well, yeah,
I didn't rehearse it. I love you. I love
woo.
You passionately.
I say woo.
And I love you unconditionally.
Of course.
And you are my best friend. I even tell William, I was like, okay, you know, Nick's my best friend. You know, don't take that personal. You're my best
yeah, and
friend.
I'm like, how?
I always tell you, but don't worry,
Nick. I always tell Francie, I'm like, well, come on. How can you think I could even replace your little knickerdoodle? I can't.
Knickerdoodle. You go to pick me up at Walmart, and thing is there was a time or two at my William. I'm banging my head. Nick is making me bang my head. But the fact is you're my knickerdoodle.
Well, thanks. A lot of times my response to that when Francie tells me is woo. Because, you know, chickens say something. Dogs like say something. Cows, you know, they say moo. Hamsters say woo. And actually, they've been with us for about 200 years, but they come from the planet Wu, which is a large planet like Jupiter. And hamsters are usually the size of cats. And they come here via a special teleportation mechanism that they designed to, like, live among us in the way that we see them. And they live for about 3 years. And after they die, their spirits go back into their normal bodies on the planet Wu and report how the human race is progressing.
Okay. So, yeah.
I mean, we're a lot more fun that way.
Hey, actually, this has been like something that I've been telling Francie for the last like 7 years or so about hamsters and Wu and the planet Wu. Stuff and people like Francie's mom keeps saying, you got to write stuff. You got to write
that's
this.
Exactly
that's
what I was
going to
say.
I mean,
my mom heard that story and she's like, hello. That's actually
back on the planet Wu, their adversaries are gerbils. And the hamster army is led by General Sokutome. Which is it's kind of like Japanese, but whenever General Sakutami like meets like his adversaries, they laugh at him and they go, "That's your name."
You sound like you got a children's book there, Nick.
I think it's a little bit more violent.
Why the hell isn't he writing this down? And I was like, Mom, you're not supposed to. What do you think?
It would actually be a musical.
I mean, well, it's either that or, you know, I get to see the book trailer showing the hamsters in the uniform, and Nick's going to be looking at the camera going,
And we welcome our hamster overlords with open arms. And will you for only $19.95.
Yeah, yeah, that would be. You know, another thing, too, is they have a superhero called Hamsterfish. And he's part hamster and he's part fish. And the hamster kingdom have an alliance with the fish kingdom. And there's also guinea squid, which are part guinea pig and part squid. There's this whole, like, huge thing in my head.
This is getting too trippy for me.
See what I gotta do.
Does anybody have their Iron Butterfly albums available?
Then I gotta delete them, baby.
Hamsters love that music too. They bring it back to their planet and they listen to it in their underground habit trail system that they got.
All right.
Everybody's going, whoa, dude.
All right.
Well, not to be rude, guys.
So,
I got to turn in. I got to get up tomorrow, too.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say.
I
got to
go, too. It's like getting later and later.
We're pretty much off air. So, Nick, I just want you to know I love you.
Oh, I love you, too.
And
you all do.
I've always
it's really cool that you did this with the whole show and people calling in and everything. Especially culminating into my revealing the whole Planet Woo thing with the hamsters and, you know, got to enrich.
You got a book
that's
right
what you got
the human
out of
population
it
with that
is
knowledge.
Your Planet Woo with the hamsters.
Yep.
And these were people that were calling in to say that they love you. And
I think Nick's going to be sleeping on the couch tonight.
No, I'm going to actually eat and watch the rest of Ginger Snaps and then wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow and finish David Gretzky's book so I can get that puppy out.
No, Nick, you're supposed to say, no, I'm going to snuggle her tonight and I'm going to give her a great big kiss to say that I love you.
Well, I'll do that too.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. It's only a point of butter. Just gotta look between.
I mean, come
Ginger
on, I got a runny nose right now because I was kind of in tears to tell Nick.
Well, don't
that
let
I love
it get
you
away.
I love you, Nickerdoodle. Okay, here we go. Let's just play
some
blues. Oh,
this is terrible. Jeremy,
anniversary.
Sing us a song. Sing us a song while I look for this. Here we go. Sing us a song, John.
Think of the song. What song? Which one?
Sing us a song. Oh, here it is. Okay, here we go.
It's The Late Show with Francie Weatherman.
Good night, everybody.
Ah, my favorite.
Taking a break from all your work sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Yeah.
All those nights when you've got no light, a check is in the mail.
It is a great song.
Your little angel hung the cat up by its tail. And your third fiancé didn't show.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
You roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead, the morning's looking bright. Your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name.